The next project we eliminate as you call it the zombie-like sound of my voice. No, we have long since discovered how to introduce the infection. Is that not right, William?
Yes, that's right, Doctor. I'm sorry, sir. Please forgive me.
That's all right, William. That's all right.
All right, sir.
Do that. We're going to have a more stable frequency vibe. More stable, I mean, we're going to have to do away with the AC, the AC frequencies in the background. We're going to have to find a way to eliminate it. To eliminate the,
I understand you, Doctor.
Now for an evidential item that will gladden the hearts of even the most strict parapsychologists. On one occasion, Dr. Mueller suggested we refer to a small book he wrote in 1947 entitled Introduction to Electronics.
Yes, sir.
Did you obtain that book of mine yet?
Oh, that book of yours? No, sir. By the way, our friend, Mr. Meek, is really going all out to find that because I want to read those two pages you mentioned, sir.
Very well, and I want you to read them, William. There must be copies available somewhere.
Well, I think, George, it's Mr. Meek, our friend.
Your friend?
Yes. Even if he has to go to the Library of Congress, he'll probably do that.
No, even the Library of Congress does not have a copy. However, just at the time this tape is being prepared, I have located the book in the archives of the State Historical Society of Wisconsin, Dr. Mueller's native state. Dr. Mueller had given us the design of the electronic circuit to make a small device for treatment of arthritic joints. We built two prototypes, and on the small-scale tests by clinics in Florida and Japan, there seemed to be positive results. In this excerpt, reference is made to this device as IFRT. Also, you hear of Dr. Mueller's giving us unlisted telephone numbers and asking us to make calls. We did this on several occasions and with amazing results.
Yes, sir.
The Arthritis Foundation. You will spare no expense or time to give IFRT. I'll get back to you again about that. I'll give you another telephone number that you can call. And you might mention my name.
Mention your name, sir?
Yes, William.
In what respect, sir?
Well, I was quite interested in, treatment of arthritis and also, yes, by the way, William, did you make that other gentleman call during capsule of cancer cells?
A capsule of cancer cells? Oh, I know what you're talking about now, sir. No, sir. Dr. Mueller, please, sir.
William.
Yes, sir?
Turn the camera off.
Turn the camera off? Well, sir, I like to record this so that if you should tell me something, sir, and I forget, I'm trying to remember, I can always play this back, sir.
I said turn that camera off.
Well, Dr. Mueller?
Turn that camera off or our conversation is out of hand. Do you understand me, William?
All right, sir.
We have stated that the mind, memory banks, and personality survive death of the physical body. A facet of Dr. Mueller's personality, one which was of value in managing large and important research projects, clearly showed in the tone of his voice when requesting that the camera and sound be turned off so that he could make some highly personal statements to William. In excerpt number 6, Dr. Mueller mentioned Vidicom, the name we use for our video research equipment. Work on this device continues very slowly, but here is a late 1981 conversation on Vidicom.
Found the schematic for that, sir. Yes, sir. I don't have the schematic for the one I bought at Radio Shack, but that's the one I've been using.
You're joking with me?
No, I'm not joking, sir.
That cheapie?
Yeah, that cheapie. That's the one I was using when you showed up on television last night. And I guess you noticed how... Well, I'll have to admit I was somewhat frightened when Mom... you know, showed up. And earlier in this tape, I had promised George that I'd show him somewhat of what we had accomplished with Vidicom. We don't have any facial features or anything like that yet, but both you and Mom, and I don't know who the other person is, I said just anybody else who comes with the love of God and you're friendly. But I don't know who it was, but I just invited anybody and... Did you notice the interruptions?
Oh, yes, for me.
You did. Good. So, I don't know. There's just not enough hours in the day anymore, Doctor.
Well, you've got to get your rest, William.
I know I have to get my rest, but there's just not enough hours in the day anymore.
We conclude this series of excerpts with a most prophetic exchange.
William?
Yes, sir? No, sir.
Well, I insist that you do, William. You know you must understand one thing, William.
Yes, sir.
I cannot be here forever. I cannot guarantee how long I can be visiting here. However, I will do my best. Do you understand, William?
Yes, sir.
There's a time and a place for everything.
Dr. Mueller's statement that he would not be here forever was most prophetic. As the months passed, I was able to observe that he was beginning to shed his dense earthly vibrations and was starting his progression upward, as depicted on the large chart entitled, In My Father's House There Are Many Mansions. Within 1 month of his having made the statement about not being able to stay forever, he had increased his consciousness to the point where our electronic system, called Mark IV, could no longer be used for contact. In anticipation of that event, we had already started to design equipment which might someday be able to resume contact with him. Such research is described in Volume 7 of this series, a technical manual entitled Spiricom. We stress that our Mark IV design of Spiricom is of very limited practical use in its present embryonic form. It requires an operator with a very special type of psychic energy. Even such a person cannot consistently communicate. For example, we lost our contact with Doc Nick shortly after it was established, and with Fred after a few weeks. Our Mark IV is not as good as Mr. Bell's first telephone. Although his messages could travel in only one direction, at least the device worked every day. However, the problems of devising a successful two-way system to speak to the so-called dead are far more complicated than those that faced the inventors of the telephone, telegraph, and radio. With our Spiricom research, we must grapple with spirit world energies of which our sciences are totally ignorant. For these reasons, MetaScience Foundation has already planned the design approaches for 3 additional types of communication systems. It has published a technical manual entitled SPIRCOM, summarizing its research to date and outlining these new approaches. It has made all of its experiences and designs available to researchers throughout the world, free of patents and copyrights. Now I want to demonstrate the high quality of voice reproduction, which is our ultimate goal for SPIRCOM. I can help you do this by turning the clock back and sharing some examples of a type of communication known as direct voice. This involves a very rare psychic ability in which certain energies from a living person are combined with energies from the world of spirit to form an invisible larynx or voice box. The person alive in the worlds of spirit steps up to this device and speaks just as he did when he still had his physical larynx. His voice is so clear that it can be understood easily by people in the room and can be recorded. Leslie Flint of London, England, is one of the comparatively few psychic persons who has this ability. Over the years, hundreds of famous people still alive in the worlds of spirit have spoken via direct voice through him. I have selected excerpts from 4 talks given by this method. They will show you how the individuality of the speaker still comes through and will add to your knowledge regarding what concerns individuals who have shed their physical bodies and now look at their life and yours from a different perspective. The first speaker is Sir William Crookes, the famous British physicist and psychical researcher. Crookes died in 1919 at the age of 87. The following 5-minute excerpt is from a talk he gave via direct voice 43 years after his birth into a new dimension.
And I must admit, it's a great pleasure to me and others here to sometimes have the opportunity of endeavoring to break the bonds and the barriers and get through on some sort of level which is nearer our own condition of life and way of thought. And I'm very glad that you particularly are endeavoring to assist us in this.
Well, I think you're perfectly right in all that you say. I wonder if you were a spiritualist yourself when you were on the earth.
I most definitely was a spiritualist. And like a good many more spiritualists, I had my disappointments. And I must admit, looking back, that though it wasn't in a sense my desire to communicate with spirits on a material level, but I had to satisfy myself beyond any shadow of a doubt that it was possible, that it was true. And in consequence, I had to work on a certain level for that purpose and that purpose alone. Because if I were to proclaim, which I did eventually proclaim, my sincere belief, not only my sincere belief, but my sincere knowledge and assurance of the truth of communication, I had to bring it down to a material level so that it could be proved to my satisfaction on a scientific basis. But of course, now I am very conscious of the need for the true spiritual revelation to come, and I feel sure that we should be able to accomplish a lot more than we have done up to now, if only we could find the mediums who, once they've been tested and proved and have worked no doubt on a certain level for a certain time, for the evidence which is essential for that mediumship, at the same time it is no point and no sense in staying on that level pandering to the mundane. We must eventually be given the opportunity to get through, as much as it is conceivably possible, of revelation in the truest sense of spirit, and what spirit can achieve, and what it can do, and what it is, and what it has done in the past, and where it is leading us. And all this we are hoping, desperately hoping, to accomplish. You know, I published certain books which were, I suppose, to a great extent, helpful in propagating this spiritualism, as you call it, to the masses. People took notice of me, and I'm very glad that they did. But I only wish to goodness that I could have pursued it further on a more spiritual level and published my findings in that respect.
I have read many books about spiritualism by scientists.
Well, my name's Crookes.
Ah, William Crookes.
And you know, I've been very interested for a long time, and I have been present at your sessions, your meetings. Sometimes I've been very pleased, like so many others, been very disappointed also, but that's bound to be in scientific research, in all kinds of research, and in such a subject as this, you're bound to have it. It can't be otherwise. Indeed, never two occasions are the same. The power, the conditions, the vibrations, everything is so variable and so changeable. But there's no doubt about it, there has been a breath of fresh air breathed into your world from this side latterly, and now we are hoping that we shall be able to continue that. We shall hope to be able to get through and to bring forth as much knowledge and as much experience as we possibly can. Of course, we've had a lot to contend with, as one can well imagine. All sorts of conditions and vibrations are bound to affect us from time to time. There are bound to be weeks when no doubt the little that we can give will seem little enough, but there'll be others when we shall achieve a great deal. There have been some very wonderful, wonderful sessions in the past, and we hope to repeat them again and again. I certainly am most anxious for that, as indeed are all the group here. You know that?
Yes, oh yes, I know that. And I'm hoping that things will be on the same line as all of you desire it to be.
Well, we hope so, because after all said and done, we've been going on for years and years and years, and the old way, you know, I'm not saying it hasn't done a lot of good. I'm not saying it hasn't given a lot of people comfort. After all, that is a very important thing itself. But after all, we've got a great truth to reveal, and
yes,
the knowledge that some of us have experienced and gained is such that we feel it's so vital that the people of Earth, at least those who will listen and those who will take note and learn, should understand more of it, this great truth. There's so much to be revealed, and people just do not realize how vital and important it is and what a vast change and difference it can make, not only in their personal lives, but in the world as a whole.
One of Crookes' great friends was Professor Charles Richer of Paris, France. Richer won the Nobel Prize for Physiology and Medicine in 1913. He spent 40 years in psychical research and was the only person to serve as president of both the British and French psychical research societies. He died in 1935 at the age of 85, but delivered these comments about the voice box 31 years after arrival in his new surroundings.
Oh, this voice box, it is just a term which I don't think has ever been properly explained, and quite frankly, I don't know that it is really possible for anyone to completely describe something which is by its very nature artificially created by the forces which emanate from the medium and the sitters and the conditions generally at the time of the souls. But this is a substance which of course in the first place is used and drawn from the medium, which really acts as an intermediary. Actually, certain people who are concerned with this, who I suppose you would call scientists of a kind, although not in a material sense, they utilize this power, this force, this vitality, which is a substance which to us can be solidified in such a way that we can mold and create in it certain vocal organs or reproduction of vocal organs which are similar, I don't say exactly, which are similar to the organs of the person on your side. But there again, this is artificially created. We have to, by a concentration of our thought, have to enter into this and vibrate it so that it will create sounds, wavelengths, vibration. All that you ever hear from us is purely artificial vibration. It comes to you as a voice. Sometimes it is lacking in personality. Sometimes a person who's receiving a message will say, oh, what the voice conveyed to me was very good, but it did not sound like this or that person. But this is because naturally the person who is communicating, unless they have a strong personality and can enter into this thing in such a way that they can assert their personality and transmit through this artificial means something of themselves. Some people are more successful than others. But this is something that takes training, that takes much experience. It doesn't necessarily happen all at once. Only with those who are really experienced can you hope to receive something which is so evidential and personal, because it is so like, so reproduced in such a way that it could be unmistakable. Only the person concerned. You see, this point is that this is a transmission of personality, quite apart from message and context of content of message. It is something which is essentially of the individual, providing the individual can assert his or her personality, transmitting that thought force in such a way that the vocal organs or the artificial ones respond and create and vibrate in your atmosphere sounds which are similar, but not necessarily accurately 100% of the individual who is communicating. Sometimes, of course, an individual who is more experienced will transmit in the first person for the person concerned, which sometimes can be confusing. The same as materialization, often when the power is not too good or the conditions are not very congenial, instead of using the ectoplasm to build a field form or a figure, they will transmute, as it were, or transfigure the medium. They build over the medium, and people who don't understand assume it is the medium. The medium is often blamed for inaccuracies. The medium is invariably blamed for whatever happens, good, bad, or in default. But actually, of course, it is not the medium's fault. The medium is merely a synthesized instrument by which we can use and create certain phenomena. And this varies so strangely, so acutely, that what may happen one day will not happen the other day. And what may be good one day will be poor another day. And also the atmospheric conditions, which are very important to you, affect very much the phenomena. If the conditions are bad, if the vibrations around the earth are bad, if thought forces around, for instance, especially in the circle of the time, are bad, they will affect it. Storm and an electric atmosphere are very bad for phenomena of this nature. And the miracle is that if one can achieve anything at all on such an occasion, because it is electrical vibration. Indeed, there are so many factors in communication involved that the miracle is that one receives, as you do often receive, extraordinary interesting things in communication.
Yes, as Professor Richet observed, it is remarkable that the voice and personality come through as well as they do.